Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can join with our brothers and sisters in Christ today to worship Jesus Christ, the culmination of your history and plan, the center of the universe, the one upon whom all praise is due. And we pray that he would be honored today. And I pray as we come to your word that we too would see Jesus here and worship him. And I pray that we would long to have our lives crucified with Christ so that he can live in and through us. Lord, I pray that you would guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit as we come to your word. May you transform us. May you make us new. And I pray that we would honor you in response to your word. Thank you that you have spoken. Help us to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text today is Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. This is what God says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." In 2004, it's almost ancient history by now, the film The Passion of the Christ was released. Now, I was in Bible college at that point, and we had quite a bit of discussion and debate among the students about this film, The Passion of the Christ. Before the release of the film, there were churches that rented out entire movie theaters and gave away tickets and did Bible studies and sermon series centered on the film that depicted the death of Christ. Churches and pastors waited for the excitement about the movie to turn into increased attendance at their churches. Do you remember The Passion of the Christ? The film came and went. The director, Mel Gibson, made hundreds of millions of dollars. But was there any lasting impact in the lives of those who saw it? Barna Research did a study that concluded, among the most startling outcomes is the apparent absence of a direct evangelistic impact by the movie. Less than 0.1% of those who saw the film stated that they made a profession of faith or accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior in reaction to the film's content. Less than 0.1% seeing the death and resurrection of Christ portrayed on a movie screen in front of them. What was the problem? Why didn't people believe in Christ in droves? Well, my purpose is not to critique or recommend films based on the Bible, but I want to ask this question to you this morning. What must happen for someone to become a Christian? What must happen for someone to become a Christian? Anything biblical that the Passion of the Christ showed in film was already written in the Bible for 2,000 years. We have in our Bible four gospel accounts of Christ's suffering, his death, and his resurrection. We have a clear, detailed history already available for us in the pages of Scripture. Putting it in film doesn't make it more or less real. Understanding and acknowledging Christ's death and resurrection does not make someone a Christian. Understanding and acknowledging Christ's death and resurrection does not make someone a Christian. What is needed is a new life. A Christian is a person who has experienced the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is how the Apostle Paul describes what a Christian is in Galatians 2:20, the text I just read for us. Now, I want you to hold your finger in Galatians, and I want you to turn back in your Bibles to the book of Romans. It's a few books, about three or four books before Galatians. Romans chapter 6, and I want to read one verse that rounds out what Paul says here in Galatians 2:20. So Romans 6, verse 4. Romans 6, verse 4. It says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now, what this verse shows us is that when a Christian is baptized, it shows what happened to them when they were saved. They experience the death of Jesus Christ, and they experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, they should walk in newness of life. This is what Paul says for us in Galatians 2:20. "The new life is Christ living in me." Today, I want to focus on the new life, the resurrection life that Jesus gives. We will follow this single verse, Galatians 2:20, and there are two main sections of the text today I want to focus on. First is that new life is Christ living in me, and second, new life is lived out by faith in Jesus. So, new life is Christ living in me, and then we live out that new life in Jesus by faith in the Son of God. So number one, new life is Christ living in me. And if you have your bulletins, there is an outline on the back if you want to fill in the blanks. So number one, new life is Christ living in me. Last week we focused on the crucifixion of Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. What is crucifixion? Crucifixion is death. Execution. Paul basically says, "I have been executed with Christ. I have been beheaded with Christ." The Christian has died. The Christian is all dead, not just mostly dead. Well, we're still alive here this morning, but a Christian died to sin. They died to their former way of life. In a strange but glorious way, when a Christian dies to sin and to self, they have been freed and now have new life. So dying is freedom. So a Christian has experienced the death of Christ in order to have freedom. Now, the book of Galatians here, Paul is writing to Christians who were released from the jail cell of sin. Before Christ, a person is shackled, enslaved, in jail to sin. All they can do is sin. And when Christ comes, he releases us from the jail cell of sin so that we can live for him. But what the Galatians had done, they had gone back to the prison. They had asked the jailer, "Can I please have those keys?" And they walked into the jail cell and locked themselves in. Why are you going back to sin? Christ freed you from all of that. Now, that's what the Galatians were doing. The daily task of the Christian is to remember that we died with Christ, and because we are dead, we are free from sin. But remembering our death with Christ is not the only thing we must remember as Christians. We are to remember that we are alive, or as Galatians 2:20 says, "Christ lives in me." Christ lives in me. So Christ living in me, what does that mean? Paul is dead, but he is alive. The text says, "I no longer live." That's the "no longer" is the idea behind "nevertheless." I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now, Paul is dead, but he is clearly alive. He is writing this letter to the Galatians as a living, breathing human being, but he no longer lives. When I was studying this, I came to the conclusion I need to figure out what living is. Figure out what life is. What is life, anyway? You know, one of the strange things about our language that we use is that the most basic words are sometimes the hardest to define. Like, what is your life anyway? Let's consider how we talk about life. If you're a teenager, you may go through a phase of trying to find yourself. Who am I? What is life about? How do I fit into school? How do I fit into society? Who am I? What is this body I am living in? Or a person may experience a midlife crisis. They are in their mid-40s with a spouse, two children, a golden retriever, and a mortgage-free house with a white picket fence. They have arrived, people think, at the American dream. And guess what? They find it lacking. What is life all about? I've arrived, and it's not fulfilling. Maybe people in that situation will return to church to find answers, or maybe they'll just buy a convertible or a boat or something like that to try to live life. Some go through difficult times in life, and some even think, is life worth living anymore? That is a place that some people go. What's my purpose in life anyway? Or you're just bored with life. Life is routine, it's boring, and you wonder, how can I live life to its fullest? That's how we talk about life, and I think that's what Paul is talking about life here in Galatians 2:20. Did you notice in our text how Paul talks about who he's talking about in our text, Galatians 2:20? He doesn't talk about Christians. Doesn't talk about they, doesn't talk about us, but he talks about I and me. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I live by faith. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. This is personal. Now, it happened to Paul, and it happens to every Christian. Christ has seized my life, the very core of who I am. Now, I just want you to listen to how Paul talks about life in a few other places. He says, Christ died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Who are you living for? Philippians 1:21, for me to live. What does it mean to live? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul tells the Thessalonians, and now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord. One translation puts it this way, and now we really live, if you are standing fast. What does it mean to live life to its fullest? For Paul, it's when other people are following Christ. I think that's pretty awesome. And one last verse. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What is your goal in life? Christ. What is my life all about? Christ. What is my purpose? To live for Christ. How can I live life to the fullest? Christ living in me. What is my role in society? To live for Christ. Who am I anyway? I belong to Christ. Our goals, our purposes, our dreams, our identity, that is our life. Christians have died to placing my in front of life. We no longer have my life. My was crucified with Christ. I no longer get to determine what my life is, because my life was killed at the cross. Christ determines my life. He is my life. That's what it means that Christ lives in me and that I died. And this is not only an internal change, it changes the whole of our existence, including how we use our bodies. Paul says here in our verse, "The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in Jesus." What is flesh here? Here it just means me here in my body, how I live right now. The life I now live in my body, I live by faith. So this is Christ living in us as Christians is not just something we talk about on Sunday morning. This is all of our lives. You can't leave your body somewhere and go live your life. It's always with you, okay? So Paul says, the life I now live in the flesh, this is me in my physical existence. Christ living in me is Christ living with my spouse. Christ living in me is Christ working my job. Christ talking to my kids. Christ taking a hike in the woods or taking out the trash. Christ living in me changes my current physical, earthly, everyday circumstances. So this is not just some kind of weird spiritual thing that happens to us. It is spiritual, but it affects all of us, including how we live in our bodies. So that's what it means that Christ is living in us. So now we know that Christ is living in us, we have died saying my life. How do we live like this? How do we live as Christ is living in us? This afternoon, sleepy and stuffed with ham. Like, how do we do this? New life, number two, second main point, is new life is lived out by faith in Christ. New life is lived out by faith in Christ. This is our verse. The life which I now live in the flesh, that's now, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. First, we must ask this question. What is faith? For many, faith is any feeling that is remotely religious. People may tell you, just have faith and everything will be okay. For others, faith is acknowledging that some religion is true, or at least truer than other religions. I believe that Christianity is true. Faith for some is waving as they drive by to the Bible or a tidbit of truth about Jesus. Yeah, see, I know that Jesus died on the cross. Now, if faith is everything, guess what? Faith is nothing. Faith in the Bible is belief. Better yet, it is trust or dependence. When you trust in something, when you depend on something, what are you doing? You are leaning in on someone or something. Faith always has an object. It's not just a feeling. Faith leans, depends on Jesus. That's biblical faith. Faith in the Bible is exclusive. We depend only on Jesus as our Savior. And faith in the Bible is life-shaping. It is a deep, exclusive dependence on Jesus for my life. So, if I have been crucified with Christ, the only way I can survive as a Christian is by depending on another. I'm dead. I've got to do something about that. I've got to lean into the life of Jesus. Now, faith is deeply personal. For some, faith is just something they acknowledge in their brains. But faith is deeply personal, but it does not end in myself. Some people say, just believe in yourself. Do you know who you are? You're a sinner. That's not going to turn out well. You need to lean on someone outside of yourself. So faith is deeply personal, but it does not end in me. That is, we call that narcissism or selfishness. The destination of biblical faith is Jesus. Faith is somewhat of a journey, but really faith is a destination, and the destination is Jesus. You know what Paul says here in our verses, that he doesn't say that he has faith in Jesus. He describes Jesus a certain way. The way that Paul talks about Jesus points out his motivation for living. In other words, it helps us understand faith better. So what is your motivation in the Christian life? If you claim to be a Christian, what is your motivation for following Jesus Christ? And I love how Paul talks about Jesus in our verse. Jesus is described as the Son of God. So, God, very God, who became human, took on human flesh in order to die for us, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is filled with wonder that God would love him and die for him. Paul was a Christian killer. And he said, God loved me and died for me. He's bursting the wonder that Jesus would love him enough to die. Paul's faith is loyalty to Jesus because Jesus gave everything for Paul and for every Christian as well. Let's say tonight when you are sound asleep, you suddenly awake to the smell of smoke. You jump out of bed and all you see are flames in the hallway. You are trapped in your bedroom and the room fills with smoke and all of a sudden you pass out. And you awake and you see paramedics and firefighters and flashing lights outside of your house. You have been saved. Your house is gone, but you are alive. You are still breathing, but life as you knew it is changed. You ask, who saved me? You find the firefighter who saved you, and you pull out your wallet. I'm assuming everyone sleeps with their wallet on them, but anyway, but just for the purpose of the story, you pull out your wallet, and you go to him and says, and you say, thank you for saving me. Here's a 20. You might as well slap him in the face. Christ loved you and died for you so he could own you. In the words of Galatians 4, so that you could be a child of his Father. The context of our verses here is law-keeping. Paul's writing in Galatians, they're trying to earn God's favor. They're trying to pay God back for what he had done by keeping the law, observing commandments in order to please God. If you look at verse 21, that's in, right after our verse here, he says, I do not frustrate, I don't nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Christ died to make you right with God. That's righteousness. Christ's death is worthless if you can just forget about his death and earn your favor with God all by yourself. Law-keeping, religion, if you want to call it that, is looking at Christ who loved you and gave himself for you and saying, hey, Jesus, here's a 20. He died to own you. He died so that you could be a son and daughter of Jesus, of his Father. I want to conclude, talk about what it really means to live. So today we celebrate Easter, Christ's resurrection, something worth celebrating. But every day, when we awake, we choose how we live. You can't go back and change how you did live. You can't erase your mistakes. You can't change the future, but you can choose how you live today. And every person has two choices in front of them. There's only two. The Bible describes them in different ways, but I'm going to describe them as Galatians 2:20 describes them. You can live for yourself, or you can die to yourself. Those are the only two choices. Live for yourself or die to yourself. So if you live for yourself, you will die. Now, our society offers us unlimited choices and opportunities for pleasure. There are countless ways to improve your life, to beautify yourself, to enrich yourself, to focus on yourself. You can give yourself over entirely to your desires and passions. You can fulfill your dreams, live for your passions, and hope in the American dream. Turn on the TV, go on the internet, open a magazine. They make it all look so stunning and satisfying. This picture of fulfilling your own life, it's just wonderful and beautiful, so they say. We are told that freedom is giving in to every desire of our hearts. But instead of freedom, we are shackled by our own desires, and it leads to death, eternal death in hell. That happens. You're going to live for yourself. You're going to go to hell. The other choice we have is to die to ourselves and live by faith in Christ, and that brings life. The other choice we have is to be crucified with Christ so that you can truly live. And this life is an abundance of life in Christ now, but also eternal life, forever life with Jesus. Some people say, you know, you just need to give your life to Jesus. Jesus doesn't want your life. Now, he'll take it, but then he'll take your life, as in he will crucify your life. Jesus died so that you would die and find new life in him. Jesus did not die. Jesus did not rise from the dead so he could offer you ways to better yourself. He died so that you would die. He died to own you. He died so that you would know his Father, so that you would find joy and peace in knowing and loving him. Jesus rose to give you a new life, Christ living in you, or so that we can walk in newness of life. Easter, this is what we celebrate. We celebrate Jesus Christ risen from the dead. We stand in awe of the Son of God this Easter season. And I want us to stand in awe of Jesus like Paul did in Galatians 2:20, saying, Jesus is amazing. We worship him because he loved me. He loved me, a sinner, and he gave himself for me. I died with Christ, and I no longer live. And then Christ lives in me. That is the awesome reality we celebrate this Easter, and the awesome reality that every Christian experiences. Christ living in me. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for this short but powerful verse. And I pray that we would understand what it means by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would not live for ourselves, but we would find our life in another, in Jesus Christ. And I pray that each one here would stand in awe and wonder of Jesus who loved us and died for us. May he be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.